Now, here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Issued officially from the White House and the President of the United States, proclamation on Constitution Day, Citizenship Day, and Constitution Week 2020, issued on September 17, 2020. In the summer of 1787, 55 delegates from throughout the fledgling United States gathered at Pennsylvania State House in Philadelphia, intent on erecting a government that would stand the test of time and protect hard-won freedoms secured during the Revolutionary War. 233 years later, the document they produced, our Constitution, remains the bedrock of our system of government, one rooted in equality under the law and unyielding commitment to individual liberty. On this day and during this week, we celebrate our great founding charter as an enduring beacon of freedom and strive toward active citizenship in service of its ideals. With profound wisdom, the framers of the Constitution divided political power among three separate and co-equal branches, and further between the federal government and state governments, ensuring that a government of the people, by the people, and for the people would remain accountable to its citizens, from whom all legitimate political power is derived. Our Constitution outlines a government that encourages individuals to flourish while still empowering the state to perform necessary functions like protecting law and order and providing essential public goods. This revolutionary concept is made and continues to make our nation the most free and just society in the world. Because its principles are timeless and rooted in truth, our Constitution has fostered freedom at home as well as liberation of countless oppressed people around the world. In more than two centuries since its ratification, it has served as an unparalleled engine for human progress. A key feature of our Constitution is an independent federal judiciary, which helps safeguard its structure and ensure individual rights. In Federalist 78, Alexander Hamilton describes the proper role of the courts as keeping the legislature within the limits assigned to their authority, handing down decisions in accordance with the principle that the Constitution is, in fact, and must be regarded by the judges as fundamental law. In reverence of the wisdom of the founders, I have made it a top priority to nominate to the federal bench only those judges who have demonstrated a commitment to enforcing the Constitution as written. To date, I have nominated and the Senate has confirmed more than 240 judges who will faithfully adhere to this foundational judicial principle, including two incredible Supreme Court justices. While freedom-loving Americans rightfully venerate and defend our Constitution, we must also remain cognizant that there are those in our society who wish to tear down our institutions, threaten our sacred constitutional freedoms. In recent months, statues of great American heroes like Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, and Theodore Roosevelt have been threatened, torn down, defaced, and destroyed. In cities throughout our country, radical groups have attacked monuments honoring the unrivaled contributions our founding fathers made to human freedom. These groups and individuals are attempting to topple constitutional law and order, the very foundation of self-government, by attacking the Constitution and the integrity of our national heroes, falsely decrying our country and its institutions as evil and unjust. As president, I will never allow such heinous attacks to go unpunished. I will continue to honor the legacy of our history by protecting our freedoms and safeguarding our Constitution and the boundless opportunity it affords to the people of our great nation. We should always celebrate the brave Americans who fought tyranny to secure the very liberty that these extremists take for granted. To this end, in June of this year, I signed an executive order on protecting American monuments, memorials, statues, and combating recent criminal violence, ensuring that anarchy and the base of criminal acts will no longer tarnish memorials built to the heroes, no longer tarnish the memorials built to honor the heroes who have served our country and defended our Constitution. On this Constitution and Citizenship Day, and during this Constitution Week, we recommit to upholding our constitutional system, to honoring its framers and those who have sacrificed to defend it, who knew the true price of liberty, and to embracing the duty we as citizens have to preserve the society it has built. Congress, by joint resolution, February 29, 1952, designated September 17th as Constitution and Citizenship Day, and by joint resolution of August 2nd, 1956, requested that the President proclaim the week beginning September 17th and ending September 23rd of each year as Constitution Week. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim September 17, 2020, as Constitution Day and Citizenship Day, and September 17, 2020, through September 23, 2020, as Constitution Week. On this day, and during this week, we celebrate the citizens and the Constitution that have made America the greatest nation this world has ever known. In doing so, we recommit ourselves to the enduring principles of the Constitution and thereby secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. In witness thereof, I have hereunto set my hand this 17th day of September in the year of our Lord, 2020, and of the independence of the United States, the 245th Donald J. Trump. And this document that was signed by the President, crafted by the President in the White House, can be found at www.whitehouse.gov, Presidential Actions, Proclamations, Constitution Day, Citizenship, Constitution Week. Well, that's a mouthful. But you can find this, obviously, as mentioned, at www.whitehouse.gov. But you can also type in or Google or search for Constitution Day 2020, President Trump. And that's how I found it. So I was elated because I do not recall on that particular day, that sacred day, that we as Americans should all honor. I don't recall that the media, even the conservative media, covered the president and this proclamation and his talk on that given day. And the president gave a speech, and you will hear the audio from the president verbatim. And the president visited the National Archives for Constitution Day, and that's where he delivered this talk. And I found the speech and extracted the audio that was available on YouTube. So you can actually watch that video, and it's entitled President Trump Visits the National Archives for Constitution Day, September 17th, 2020.
To grow up in America is to live in a land where anything is possible, where anyone can rise, and where any dream can come true, all because of the immortal principles of our nation's founders, inscribed nearly 2.5 centuries ago. On this very day in 1787, our founding fathers signed the Constitution at Independence Hall in Philadelphia. Yet as we gather this afternoon, a radical movement is attempting to demolish this treasured and precious inheritance. American parents are not going to accept indoctrination in our schools, cancel culture in our work, or the repression of traditional faith, culture, and values in the public square. Not anymore. We are here today to declare that we will never submit to tyranny. We will reclaim our history and our country for citizens of every race, color, religion, and creed. With the help of everyone here today, the legacy of 1776 will never be erased. Our heroes will never be forgotten. Our youth will be taught to love America with all of their heart and all of their soul. We will save this cherished inheritance for our children, for their children, and for every generation to come.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out, Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer, S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Let's get back to the Tom Donahue Show. Always authentic, independent-minded, and truth-seeking.
So here is the actual history of Constitution Day. And I am referring to Wikipedia, and I have also looked at other sourced material. But I'm just going to read from this and give you a little bit better overview of history and background of this important holiday. And it really is not a national holiday, even though you may not get the day off. But it really is truly now governmentally recognized, and more citizens of our great country, fellow patriots, are learning about Constitution Day and the history and the import that this day, September 17th, has for our country and for our citizenry. So I'm just going to read from this. So here we go. Constitution Day, United States. Constitution Day, or Citizenship Day, formerly observed the third Sunday in May, is an American federal observance that recognizes the adoption of the United States Constitution and those who have become U.S. citizens. It is now normally observed on September 17th, the day in 1787 that delegates to the Constitutional Convention signed the document in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It was created in 2004 with the passage of an amendment by none other than Senator Robert Byrd to the Omnibus Spending Bill of 2004. Before this law was enacted, the holiday was known as Citizenship Day. In addition to renaming the holiday Constitution Day and Citizenship Day, the Act mandates that all public-funded educational institutions and all federal agencies provide educational programming on the history of the American Constitution on that day. In May 2005, the United States Department of Education announced the enactment of this law, and it would apply to any school receiving federal funds of any kind. So going back to its origins, Iowa schools first recognized Constitution Day in 1911. In 1917, the Sons of the American Revolution formed a committee to promote Constitution Day, I Am an American Day. This day was inspired by Arthur Pine, the head of publicity and public relations firm in New York City, bearing his name. At the New York World Fair, the writers of the new song called I Am an American brought their manuscript to the attention of Arthur Pine, who handled publicity for the band leader, Gray Gordon, and a music publisher. Arthur Pine had the song introduced on NBC, Mutual, and ABC by the orchestra leader and arranged for I Am an American Day at the 1939 New York's World Fair, and had a local New York newspaper tie in with I Am an American Day in the city. The promotion proved so successful that the newspaper chain promoted I Am an American Day on a nationwide basis and had President Roosevelt name it as an official day. In 1939, William Randolph Hearst advocated through his chain of newspapers the creation of a holiday to celebrate citizenship. In 1940, Congress designated the third Sunday in May as I Am an American Day. In 1944, I Am an American Day was promoted through the United States Immigration and Naturalization Service. A 16-minute film, I Am an American, was featured in American theaters as a short feature. In 1947, Hearst News Reels featured the event on News of the Day. In 1949, governors of all 48 states had issued Constitution Day proclamations. On February 29, 1952, Congress moved I Am an American Day observance to September 17th and renamed it Citizenship Day. Louisville, Ohio, the Constitution Town. Louisville, Ohio called itself the Constitution Town and credits one of its own for getting the holiday national recognition. In 1952, resident Olga T. Weber petitioned municipal officials to establish Constitution Day in honor of the creation of the United States Constitution in 1787. Mayor Gerald Romary proclaimed September 17, 1952 as Constitution Day in the city. The following April, Weber requested that the Ohio General Assembly proclaim September 17 as statewide Constitution Day. Her request was signed into law by the governor. In August 1953, she took her case to the United States Senate, which passed a resolution designating September 17th through the 23rd is Constitution Week. The Senate and House approved her request, and it was signed into law by then-President Dwight D. Eisenhower. On April the 15th, 1957, the City Council of Louisville declared the city Constitution Town. The Ohio State Archaeological and Historical Society later donated four historical markers located at the four main entrances to the city, explaining Louisville's role as the originator of Constitution Day. First U.S. congressional designation of Constitution Day. Mrs. A.B. Clara Vagda, a Hungarian immigrant to the United States, was recognized in the U.S. congressional record as the founder of Citizenship Day on March the 27th, 1941. On May 3, 1940, the President of the United States approved a joint resolution of both houses of Congress setting aside the third Sunday of May of each year as Citizenship Day. The purpose of the act was to give recognition to all those who, by coming of age or naturalization, have attained the status of citizenship. I wonder how many people in this country really know the true story and the origin of the day. This movement to teach all citizens to appreciate the great honor and privilege bestowed upon them when they assume their sovereign rights of citizenship. So anyway, one thing leads to another, and whether it be Citizenship Day, Constitution Day, I Am an American Day, just think of the patriotic messaging here. Just think of the pride and privilege that these people felt when being so inspired and motivated to have, whether it be Citizenship Day, Constitution Day, but both of those ideals, both of those realities were things that really mattered in a very patriotic way. And of all things, the irony, and I'll be running a clip of what I had to say in 2012, that Robert Byrd and his illustrious past and was the big spender, pork barreling. When you talk about pork and budgets, there was nobody that was more masterful than Robert Byrd. But Senator Robert Byrd from West Virginia, when I learned this in 2012, I was astonished. I mean, really was shocked that he actually, through an omnibus spending bill, pushed for Constitution Day and Citizenship Day as being a nationally recognized holiday. And just think of this, that the Department of Education and that any and all schools that received any source of federal funding had to teach. How many teach it today? I don't know. But they're actually, it's mandated. Speaking of a word they love. Well, and they actually use the word in here, mandates. So it's actually mandated by the federal government. It's mandated by the United States Congress, Department of Education, that Constitution Day, the founders, the framers, the history, must be observed, must be taught. How things have changed now that monuments are being defaced, torn down, burned, destroyed. Even Robert Byrd would have been against this, I mean, of all things. So, times have changed, sadly to say.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Ryan News Talk, news and views beyond the mainstream media.
Action Monday edition, United States Constitution Day, celebrating the 225th anniversary today, September the 17th, 2012, 1787 was the actual date, 225 years ago. But most shows are not, or programs are not discussing that because it's irrelevant. As Mitt Romney pointed to Ron Paul when a constitutional question was posed, oh, he's the constitutionalist over there. Well, I'm a proud constitutional crusader, one of the original in talk radio. And yes, I used that moniker. Wasn't the name of the program. It was America's Town Forum, which later became Freethinker Radio, which eventually became Tom Donahue Reports. And I'm so glad to be with you. Last year, and I think even the year prior, we spent the entire day on the Constitution. Today, I'm not quite prepared to do that. I mean, I could be. I was doing a little research prior to the broadcast. There were very few stories. You know, if you do your internet searches or maybe say Google searches. But one of the things that I found that I was actually somewhat unaware of was in 2004, a proclamation was actually passed to make Constitution Day a national holiday. Maybe not in the ways that other holidays are, but it actually talked about the fact that, you know, it should be considered more or less a voluntary holiday. But if you were to look at federal or national holidays, there's only a few that would come to mind that could even be somewhat relevant, and that would be Independence Day, 4th of July. It would be Constitution Day. I would have to think that we could even put Bill of Rights Day. Those would all be appropriate and something that would be considered, still voluntary, I believe, but still considered national holidays in terms of what we revere or celebrate or hold near and dear. Talking about the fact that when we talk about politics or the culture, if there's not a moral compass, spiritual underpinnings, if we're not a moral nation, we're not a just nation. And so morals do matter. So this program is about liberty, the pursuit thereof, freedom forward, truth in all matters, seeking it, telling it, and trafficking only in the truth to the best of our ability. It's about justice. And so when we talk about the Constitution, and right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we have the U.S. Constitution Center, National Constitution Center. We have Independence Hall. We have the Liberty Bell. And I would highly recommend, if you're going to be in Philadelphia, to take the time. And you got some nice restaurants in the area and Penn's Landing. And also, you should take it in. You should definitely make a day of it. And I'm always in awe of that area. And I'm not the most metaphysical person. I like to think of myself more as a spiritual person. I do feel like a little bit of a sixth sense. And I do sense the spirits, and I do sense, I know I'm always inspired by spending time in that area. And so on this day, 225-year anniversary, and some people say, well, it's the Articles of Confederation. Okay, fine, great, all right, wonderful. But you have to remember, the United States Constitution more or less shackled the government. Now, they keep trying to find as much wiggle room as they can get, and they try to distort the founders' intentions. But the United States Constitution had more to do with, okay, these are your obligations, these are your duties, these are your limitations. And it was the limitations on power, and it was a division of powers. And so the United States Constitution is very important. I think the Declaration is more important. I think even the Bill of Rights is more important because it didn't give us rights. All it did was saying that the grantor is the creator and government's only there to protect, secure, and defend those individual rights, those inherent rights, those God-gifted and granted and embedded rights. So on this day, when everybody's talking about Obama versus Romney or the Middle East madness, we here are doing something a little different. Well, we'll talk about that too. And I've done past programs where we devoted the entire program on constitutional issues. But I do want it to start the opening monologue, and I wanted to let you know that, yes, I did remember, and it's worthy of remembrance, and in some, to some degree even reverence, because that even though other countries are now starting to look beyond our Constitution, many that really want a true republic, putting the individual first as opposed to government first, and realizing, you know, that that God is the grantor of the rights, the gifter of those rights, not government, then they do look towards the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, in the formation or reformation of their nation. And so that's why I believe it's that important to discuss that today, September the 17th, 2012, 225 years later on Constitution Day, the United States Constitution Day. I'm Tom Donahue and proud to be a protectionist, and this is all about Patriot Talk Radio. Welcome back, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue reports, patriotism in action, proud protectionist, constitutionalist, constitutional crusader, absolutely, free thinker, political independent, have been, will remain so. But I'm right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, my current residence, my birthplace, the cradle of liberty, absolutely, 225-year anniversary of the United States Constitution. Now, again, in terms of the hierarchy, or the pinnacle of political prestige, I would have to place the Declaration of Independence at the top in terms of human documents. I think divinely inspired, but still human documents, documents of man. And then I would place the Bill of Rights second. And thirdly, I would place the United States Constitution. Now, we can go back to the Articles of Confederation and various other writings, and, you know, and of course, there's other political documents. But I'm talking about the ones that we live well. I wish our government lived by. But actually, you want to talk about mandates? The Constitution mandates certain prohibitions, limitations, the do's and don'ts of government. Doesn't mean that they abide by it, but the founders were very clear, and they were very resolute in what was to be mandated in terms of requirements, obligations, duties, responsibilities, and limitations. Absolutely. But I'm looking at some of the information that I had researched. Here is something that it's called Constitution Day, but it's also considered Citizenship Day. It's an American federal observance that recognizes the adoption of the United States Constitution and those who have become U.S. citizens. It's observed on September 17th, the day of the United States Constitutional Convention and the signing of the United States Constitution in 1787, on this very day, September the 17th. The law establishing the holiday was created in, it might surprise you, 2004. With the passage of an amendment by none other than Senator Robert Byrd to an omnibus spending bill in 2004. Before this law was enacted, the holiday was known as Citizenship Day. In addition to renaming the holiday Constitution Day, the act mandates, so that, well, there's that word again, that all publicly funded educational institutions provide educational programming on the history of the American Constitution. In May 2005, the United States Department of Education announced the enactment of this law and that it would apply to any school receiving federal funds of any kind. This holiday is not observed by granting time off from work for federal employees, though. When the Constitution Day falls on a weekend or another holiday, schools and other institutions that observe the holiday on an adjacent weekday. This was the case in 2005 and 11 when Constitution Day was generally observed on Friday, the day prior, September 16th. Universities and colleges nationwide have created the United States Constitution and Citizenship Weeks in order to meet the requirements of the law. How many of you knew this? I didn't know that it was mandated. I didn't. So Citizenship Day morphed into United States Constitution Day and an attachment to an omnibus spending bill, and a guy who is considered to be, well, one of the most liberal and certainly tax and spend, and biggest spender of all time, binge spending, former senator, not just former senator, but the deceased Robert Byrd. I think he was still in the Senate at 90 from the great state of West Virginia. But many of you may not be aware of that. So you might say, well, it's just a factoid in history. And it all goes back to our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. You know, being independent and being independent-minded is very important and very difficult to find these days, whether it's programming, whether it's just the average person. When they say, oh, he's a political independent, most people really aren't politically independent. And so I do have an agenda. My agenda is about liberty and freedom and justice and truth, and that's where I stand. For those of you that didn't know, maybe these are some interesting facts now in evidence. The Constitution Day, could you imagine? I mean, it took someone like Robert Byrd. I don't know where he got the inspiration. I mean, this guy generally spent more time worrying about, well, in his old days, in his early days, there's no question about this. He had ties to the KKK. You say, well, that was the 1940s. And so it made it right to be part of the hooded KKK. Yeah. And yeah, he was a Democrat. But they say he, like many, they evolved over time. So you have a spending bill, of all places, to hide this new federal holiday that would not allow for, which is, you know, I wish there were no paid federal holidays for at least the public sector. Hey, private sector, if an employer wants to pay you, a boss wants to pay you, you want to pay people that work for you, hey, that's fine. It's up to you. It shouldn't come out of the taxpayer coffers. It's either 9 or 10. I broadcasted from the National Constitution Center and even spoke with Janine Turner, who has a really fine group, Constituting Us, I believe is the organization. I have it tied to some of my logos or you'd say banners on the website at TomDonahueReports.com. But if you were to click through on some of the constitutional banners on my website, it'll take you to Janine Turner's organization. Now, the 10th Amendment Center will take you to the 10th Amendment Center. You know, the banner ad I have there. And they're not paid. I just want to remind people the importance of these documents. So for instance, if you were to click on, I believe, We the People. Let's see. That's all the quotes from the Founding Fathers. That's kind of a cool website, too. I'm going to go over some of this and continue this theme. It's the 225th anniversary of the United States Constitution. Right back, old tight. Welcome back, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue Reports, Patriotism in Action. So glad you can be with us. Yeah, if you're on the website, my website, TomDonahueReports.com, if you click on the Bill of Rights, it will take you to, it's a Constituting America. And so if you want to spend some time with your children, and the website is really geared toward our youth and getting them involved in constitutional education and activities at an early age. So I do want to salute Janine Turner. I salute her for putting in the time and the energy and the resources and putting together an organization called Constituting America, because that's the way you reach out to the kids and to the youth and to our upcoming and future generations. So for that alone, I put her in the Hall of Fame for today. And the fact is that she's involved in activities and creative contests and exercises with kids to get them more involved in learning about the Founding Fathers and the Framers and our great constitutional system and our republic. On that level, I salute her and appreciate her and respect her. So anyway, if you click through any of these banners, We the People, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the 10th Amendment Center, it'll take you to sites that are educational and a reminder and a reflection of what I believe and what propels me or inspires me or motivates me. At least if you click on those banners, it'll take you to sites that'll help inform and educate and inspire and motivate. So there you go. So whether it takes you to 10th Amendment Center or quotes from the Founding Fathers or the United States Constitution Center or Constituting Us, that's why I have those on the site. But it is the 225th anniversary of the United States Constitution. I'd rather see it voluntary. I don't think anything should be mandated in that regard. It should be encouraged. But in some ways, you'd almost have to say, well, that's kind of a good mandate. But when you go into good and bad mandates, you can go down the slippery slope there. So, yeah, if you're receiving federal dollars on Constitution Day, you better have some kind of program in place. Matter of fact, the day and maybe even the week that's supposed to be educating our youth, or it doesn't have necessarily – you don't have to be a youthful person. You could be someone that's gone – I mean, any institution of higher learning, any grade really. But, yeah, any educational endeavor that's connected federally has any kind of funding or ties, you have to be talking about this in some way, shape, or form, or fashion. And I think that's, well, I don't want to mandate it, but if you're going to mandate something, learn about the Constitution. Learn about liberty and freedom and the founders and the framers and the limitations on government and its responsibilities and obligations and duties. Yeah, there you go. So that is why I'm talking about it today, and that's why I'm trying to share with you some information that you may or may not be aware of. I was looking for news stories 225 years ago, right here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, September 17th, 1787. And it's just a very brief story, but it's more about, you know, this document, this original, the personal constitution of George Washington. So then there're not that many stories. You would think that the Sludge Report would have something, Newsmax would have something, that various other outlets would have something. It's almost like a news blackout of the United States Constitution Day. National Constitution Center here in Philadelphia, you know, has something because of their anniversary and celebrations. And, you know, I think this is the only day, call it National Constitution Center here in Philadelphia, is open and free. Everybody has a free pass to visit and participate, which is great. And I absolutely thoroughly enjoyed my time there a couple of years ago, besides the fact that I was broadcasting from the National Constitution Center. Human Events also has a story that covers conservative news, but not so much. But yeah, there's a few little blurbs about certain celebrations going on around the country, but not much. But that's why we're talking about it and sharing the good news. Right back, hold tight. Welcome back, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue reports patriotism in action. Again, I don't favor national or federalized holidays, especially taxpayer supported. But I have to say, probably the only act that was, and it was still done kind of, well, it was legal, but it was kind of covert, subrosa, if you will, under wraps, attaching a bill to an omnibus spending bill. Robert Byrd was able to sneak through this national or federal holiday commemorating the anniversary of the United States Constitution. Now, some might say that, well, that's part of propping up his legacy. Some might say that, well, there's certain provisions within the United States Constitution that give or grant certain powers to the federal government. Yeah, but they're limited. Now, I think the Commerce Clause was something that was somewhat dubious, but the founders, I don't think, realized what that could become. And that it could open the Pandora's box to greater federal intrusion and trespassing into the states. But there had to be some way that in a limited, although somewhat unified, these several states, that there had to be a way that the national government could work within the states when needed, and to be able to regulate commerce and various other activities that were, you know, interstate, and be able to somehow, I guess, negotiate or to be able to arbitrate, you know, issues that would arise that would involve more than just the individual states. So how does one resolve disputes, issues that go beyond one's state lines or the borders of those individual sovereign states? But nevertheless, if there were not such stringent limitations on a variety of things, I think we would be under complete and total abject tyranny, and there would not be even be a resemblance of our republic as we have today, as imperfect in terms of application and reality in 2012. But nevertheless, if you're going to look at national or federal holidays, you have to look at these important documents that the founders and framers helped create and bring into existence on those days. But as long as it's not being paid for. But I think celebrations and I think days of recognition and remembrance are important. But why can't we do this with all these national holidays, that they're not federally funded or underwritten or mandated, even though this, in terms of education, but I guess if you're taking federal dollars, well, the federal government would have some say and jurisdiction. And if you're going to look at a mandate that you would say, hey, I kind of like, I know, again, it's slippery slope, but if all institutions of higher learning receive federal dollars, they're supposed to be talking about the United States Constitution on this day, and perhaps as many are this week. And so those kind of reminders and remembrance, it's a good thing. But again, we don't have to look to the federal government for those reminders. Although some would argue that it's better than nothing, because so few remember, and so few will actually celebrate or commemorate or support or share with others this important day in history. But it is the 225th anniversary, and we are talking about the United States Constitution. And no, I'm not. I think the last couple of years I've read many, many passages from the Constitution, and I think you can do that on your own. I didn't really feel motivated to start reading verbatim, although I have at times, and sometimes it has nothing to do with a day of celebration or commemoration. If those founders were alive today, there's no doubt that they would have blogs. There's no doubt that they would have, they'd be using the social media. They would be using, you know, maybe even talk radio. You know, they would be broadcasting somehow, some way, their views to the masses. In 1987, for the bicentennial celebration. That's right. 25 years ago, this young lad, Tom Donahue, and his organization, ALA, the American Liberty Association, was selected by the Dallas Morning News as the person and the organization that most represented the principles and the precepts of the Founding Fathers. And so we were selected as the group, and they called us Monetary Revolutionaries, for the bicentennial celebration of the Constitution, an 8-page layout in the Dallas Morning News, Dallas Life magazine. They called us Monetary Revolutionaries. They believe a secret conspiracy rules the world. They believe having a social security number gives ground to the enemy. They believe that they can do what they want with their money. More to come, Tom Donahue. Tom Donahue reports, still fighting on for truth, liberty, justice, and the American way.
At OrionTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
And if you just joined us, you might say, what are you talking about? We're not hearing it anywhere else. Well, that's because many of them are ill-informed, under-informed, or uninformed as it pertains to the Constitution, our freedoms, our rights, because they're concerned about Obama versus Romney. Yeah, they're playing political romper room today. They're politically absent today, or you could say delinquent, because what would be more important if you're part of the United States of America than talking about something as precious and as priceless and as prestigious as the United States Constitution? That's right. On this very day, 225 years to this day, the framers and the founders decided to forge a constitution, a national constitution, that essentially spelled out a division of powers or separation of powers. It shackled, at least they thought at the time, the national or federal government. It was a enumeration of powers, a limitation of powers, a delegation and a delineation of separate powers. And not only the three branches of government, but essentially said this is the federal government's limited obligations, responsibilities, duties. And beyond that, they were to mind their own business. But it was a limitation, not an expansion of powers, a limitation. It was a clear definition or defining of those powers in a limited fashion. That's what we had. That's not what has become of this national federal government. But yes, the founding fathers decided that we needed a national constitution, and it was a way of bringing the states together in a limited rather than more uniform or unified way. And it was a way that we wouldn't have wars between the states, or at least they thought at the time. And it'd be a way that the government could play a very limited, but very useful and productive role, and that it could tie together these several states and bring together some unity of purpose and mission without destroying or disrupting or usurping or trespassing over the rights and the boundaries and the borders of the sovereign nature of those individual or several states. But on this very day, 225 years to this day, we're celebrating the Constitution of the United States. Now, if there were ever a day, or days, I should say, that there should be a national or federal holiday, not enforced or mandated, and voluntary. And today, if you're just joining us, I do want to remind you that I was unaware, and I guess you could say uninformed, that in 2004, of all political animals or subterranean creatures, Robert Byrd, United States Senator, until I believe the age of 90 or 91, decided in 2004 to add to the omnibus spending bill a national holiday, unpaid, but recognized in the United States Constitution Day in 2004. So this is what this program is about. Inspiration, motivation, education. We want well-informed opinions. So on Constitution Day, I'm saying reapply the principles. Double down on our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, and our Bill of Rights. Because they got those 10 right. Oh, they're totally right and right on.
Here's your host, Tom Donahue, an investigative broadcaster and a man on a mission.
Good evening, Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue Show. Welcome, America and beyond. Let me just say, I want to give a few shout-outs right from the beginning. Bill Freeze and Freeze Media, TalkStream Live. And, of course, our distribution partners, Salem Radio Network, SRN, thank you so much. This is a deal that came together very quickly. We didn't have a lot of time to promote this. What better time to start this program? The beginning, if you will. Well, the beginning of this country. Now, we're kind of in a little bit of an odd spot here because do you celebrate Independence Day? And that's the official name, not 4th of July. I know we say it. I know movies are labeled that way or titled that way. But it really is Independence Day. It is America's independence. And so I'm just really excited that we are starting this program on this very weekend in commemoration and celebration of the birth of our great nation. I'm telling you, well, that's where I broadcast from. That's where I hail from. But yes, I'm broadcasting from the cradle of liberty right here in Philadelphia, the birthplace of our wonderful country. And some of you might say, that voice sounds a bit familiar. Some of you are going to say, I don't know who he is. We're going to get to know me in this hour. And some might say, well, what kind of program is this? Well, it certainly has political overtones. And I'm a political independent, but I do advocate for certain positions. I love when someone says, well, I'm nonpartisan and I don't advocate. Just like with our so-called and the best and brightest in the newsrooms. No, they do advocate. There's very few broadcast journalists or journalists in print or otherwise that don't have an axe to grind, that don't have a point of view. We all have points of view, quite frankly. My point of view has been and always will be America first. And you say, well, are you just kind of riding the coattails of Donald Trump? That's not the way it works. My program dates back to 1990. Myself, and you might recall another name, Chuck Carter. Well, I just put together in the last couple months, many people think it's a tremendous tribute to the late, great Chuck Carter. I'm not trying to make this a retro show and a redo, a reboot. The point is, just like in anything in politics or history, there's always a foundation. There's always things that set precedents. There's things that you have to go back in time. That's right, back in the vault. And so if you look at the America First movement, and again, I wasn't alive and I don't know all that much about the chapter one, if you will, 1.0, and that was in the 40s, and there was a lot of resistance to the entrance into World War II and
And it had a lot to do with nationalistic fervor. Let's just put that aside for now, because I only know about 2.0 that I was part of, and that was in the early to mid-90s. Of course, Pat Buchanan played a huge role. Chuck Carter for the People played a huge role. There was even, quite frankly, in terms of America First, you had Bo Greitz, you had various others, but there weren't that many that really understood, that really wanted to take on this mantle, that really wanted to, I felt like I was carrying a duffel bag of responsibility. Now I just carry a backpack because so many people know about America First. People know about nationalism and populism and national sovereignty. You know, I've been against the globalist New World Order, you know, these gangsters of globalism from the onset. You know, I was exposing and opposing the New World Order, the Federal Reserve System, what happened to JFK in Dallas, Texas. Matter of fact, when I lived there, we put on a lot of rallies, a lot of seminars, a lot of luncheon meetings that related to what really happened in terms of the public execution of the President of the United States. And you say, well, if you're talking about JFK, maybe you're a liberal. No, I'm not a liberal. I'm a cultural conservative. I'm a constitutional crusader. I'm a political independent because I look at all the issues individually and constitutionally. Yeah, constitutionally speaking. You get it? Okay. We're going to explore, and we're going to delve much deeper into the Trump phenomenon, how Trump came about. Many of you probably don't know this because a lot of information is controlled on the left and the right. You say, oh, wait a minute, Fox is a paragon of virtue. Well, just look at Roger Ailes, the late Roger Ailes. You know, look at some of the debauchery and the chicanery that went on at Fox News. Now, again, I tend to side with a lot of the perspectives and the viewpoints of many on Fox News. But why is Michael Savage banned from Fox News? That's a great question. Well, it's because he can be critical of some in the controlled conservative cartel. I have to say that if you were to tune into radio back in the 90s right now, and you were listening to Rush or Sean Hannity, later on, I guess I don't remember when he started, late 90s, early 2000s, I don't know, Mark Levin. I don't like when anyone calls themselves great, because you're not great. The creator's great, okay? Most human beings are not great. Well, maybe Thomas Jefferson. But I just don't like when someone says, I'm the great one. Yeah, okay, that's just lovely. That's wonderful. And you say, well, you shouldn't be critical of anybody. Okay, well, so I should only be critical of politicians, politricksters. But never, you know, anybody that seemingly plays for our side. No, I call it fair. Not fair and balanced, because that's just total nonsense. You can't have fair and balanced on the left or the right. And why masquerade? Why try to hide that? Why not just be honest and say, hey, we tilt to the right. But we are talking about Independence Day. We are talking about the fact that party in terms of celebration. It's going to be for this holiday. And you have national holidays that are devoid sometimes of the most important parts of the holiday, and that's President's Day. Oh, so we should be celebrating Bill Clinton and Papa Bush and Son Bush and Obama? No, we should be celebrating George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. That's my view. But, oh, just throw them all in there. Well, the left's not going to celebrate Donald Trump. There is a little bit of a secret society, if you will. We'll get into all conspiracy stuff later. But in terms of, there's some people from the left, there's some people from the progressive left that are in hiding, but actually support Donald Trump, because Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, you have the governor of California, who was a presidential candidate that called Bill Clinton a sleazeball and a scumbag. He did. During the 1992 election season, during the primaries. At that time, Jerry Brown was, well, not quite an America First, but he was a nationalist that related to trade. Rush, Hannity, Levin, many others were all in favor of the free trade. They all were in favor of the Bush's wars. Yeah, the Bush's wars. But then all of a sudden, and then they were a little kind of like semi-anti-Trump during the primaries, and they realized, well, maybe my career, maybe the fact is that with this earthquake in politics, that maybe we got to get on the Trump side. And Trump did triumph. Tom Donahue, Tom Donahue showed.